Well, you're going to get a rarity here this morning. You're going to get a topical sermon only because we're between 1 and 2 Peter. You're going to get a topical sermon on being thankful because it's Thanksgiving. Happens to be my favorite holiday, by the way. I truly appreciate Thanksgiving. I guess because we don't have to give gifts or something. I don't know, but anyway, I like Thanksgiving. So, this being Thanksgiving week, we're going to look at just simply being thankful. Being thankful happens to be critical in our Christian life for a proper walk with our Lord. Scripture, it's full of exhortations about being thankful. And one of the first things we ever teach our children is what? Say thank you, Johnny. Say thank you, Susie, or whatever. We want our children to be thankful, and our Lord wants us to be thankful. Being unthankful is rude. It's rude behavior from one another when we're not just willing to say thank you. And being unthankful is offensive to our Lord. Have you ever been around a child, or even an adult, far as that go, who is a constant complainer? Or, as Scripture likes to say, a murmurer? It wears on you. It wears on you when you're around a person who is not a bit thankful for anything. Time and again in Israel's history, in their wanderings in the wilderness, they would murmur, they would complain, they would speak evil of Moses, their leader. And it not only was offensive to Moses and Aaron and all them, it was offensive to God. Israel is out in the wilderness. God is very angry with them. Moses, their leader, he's up on the mountain. He's receiving the Ten Commandments. And God speaks to Moses while he's up on the mountain. The children of Israel down below, and it's in, you don't turn to this one. I'll just read you one scripture verse here. In Exodus 32:10, now therefore, this is God speaking, let me alone, that I may bring my wrath hot against them, and I will consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. And he's talking to Moses. He's willing, supposedly here, to wipe out the whole nation of Israel and start a whole new group of people, starting with Moses. Moses prays and cries out, God, don't do that, you know, which is really what God wanted to hear from Moses as their leader. Because God wanted to show mercy to Israel. And that's exactly what he wanted from Moses, the leader. But Moses prays for the people. Then Moses comes down from the mountain. He sees Israel dancing and carrying on and worshiping this golden calf. Moses then throws down the tablets of stone. They're broken. And Moses' anger burns hot against these same people that he just pled God with not to destroy. And this scenario would repeat itself with Israel. Israel would murmur and complain. God would judge them. Then they would repent, and God would forgive them. But they're murmuring and they're complaining as free people. Because just a few years prior, not even a few years, a few months prior, they had been under Egypt's hard tasked masters. And now they're out in the wilderness. God is providing them food. He's providing them shelter with the, you know, a cloud by day and a fire by night. And he's taking care of them, and they're still complaining. And when you study the history of Israel, especially in the wilderness, The constant theme there is Israel gripes and complains. They murmur. God rebukes them, punishes them. They repent. He forgives them. Time and again, we see this scenario play itself out. So my point here is there is harm. There is evil in being a complainer. Murmuring and complaining eventually brings God's wrath upon a person. But Pastor Don, that was the Old Testament. Glad you noticed that. I'm going to take you to the New Testament now. Romans, and I want you to turn to this, chapter 1, Romans 1, and we'll look at verses 18 through 22. Happens to be one of my favorite passages. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 22. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because they may be known of God, is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Paul here, he gives us insight into what really ticks off God. What causes God to be wrathful? And wrath is simply a physical expression of anger. That's all wrath is. And this passage tells us God has shown his invisible attribute to mankind. Man has understood that there is a God by the things that God has created. Even the Godhead himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. But look at verse 21. Although they, mankind, knew God, they did not glorify him as God. There was a willful rejection of God. And then we have the theme of this morning's sermon, and they were not thankful. They became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. There's a progression there. There's a process there. Mankind, who does not believe or accept God, does so out of a foolish and darkened heart. That is unthankful. The attitude of thanksgiving in our heart has tremendous effect upon our lives. An ungrateful heart finds fault with anything and everything except themselves, you know. An unthankful heart rejects personal responsibility or accountability for my behavior. I like sports. I love watching football. And I always appreciate any football player, particularly a quarterback, when he says, "My bad." I like that guy. You know, right away, he's admitting that he's human. Like when he throws a bad pass and you see him point to himself like, "That was my fault." And I like that when I see a guy take responsibility like that. I like golf. I play golf. It's not a team sport. It's one of the reasons I like it. It's you against the course. And a while back, I was out and I was golfing with some friends, and I happened to hit a wayward shot that went out into the rough. I can't even make contact with the ball. It's such a bad lie. And I'm sitting there looking at it. I'm complaining about it. And when one of the guys I'm with, he says, you know how to cure that? I said, how? He says, don't hit it over here. I said, just leave me alone and let me gripe. If I want to complain, I'm going to complain, right? So, anyway, we can complain about things that we feel no responsibility for, but are totally responsible for. We can also be thankful for bad reasons. How can you be thankful for something that's bad? You can be thankful or prideful for a position of power and prestige that isn't godly. And it can be a veiled hatred of others in your thankfulness. So let me get you to turn to Luke 18, and we'll read a little story that Jesus told. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke 18, verse 9. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed within himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus speaking, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. First thing we have to note there is the Pharisee trusted in himself for righteousness and was extremely prejudiced, despising others. Note about the Pharisees. The Pharisees carried around this holier-than-thou attitude. Jesus never had anything good to say about the Pharisees. But the Pharisees were respected by the common people of the time. The regular populace in Jesus' day, they looked at the Pharisees as being the holy men. The Pharisee and the tax collector, like what we would call an IRS agent, they both go to temple to pray. The Pharisee prayed within himself. Now, if you're going to pray, don't pray within yourself. Pray to God. You know, pray to God, not within yourself. And there's two great truths that I base that on. One, there is a God, and you're not him. So you don't pray within yourself. But listen to his prayer. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. And then he names the extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers, even the tax collector who's standing probably close to him. The Pharisee is thankful that he is not like other men. Then he mentions the tax collector. That Pharisee is completely caught up in pride. Now, if you know anything about God, you know that he hates pride. Proverbs tells us that God even hates a prideful look. If you even look prideful, it's displeasing to God. We are to humble ourselves before God, and he will exalt us. But we too often want to exalt ourselves. The Pharisee is thankful that he is not like the tax collector. And tax collectors happened to be hated in Israel. They were considered traitors. And he's thankful that he is not like that traitor. But notice he's not thankful for God's blessings. He's just thankful that he's not like that other guy. He's not thankful for being a Jew, a chosen person of God at that time. And he's thankful that he's not a tax collector, whom the Jews happen to hate, by the way. Happen to look down upon him in a condescending way. The tax collector, he's full of guilt. He can't even lift his eyes when he prays. He stands there with a bowed head, smote his breast and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus tells us the tax collector goes home justified, not the Pharisee. Okay, now it's time to offend. You can't go through this without offending somebody, so I'm going to offend somebody. Have you ever thanked God that you're an American? With all the blessings of being an American? I have. And that's okay. But with that, blessing comes responsibility. Have you ever thanked God that you're not like, and now fill in any people group that offends you? Have you ever thanked God that you're not, and then put in any group that offends you? Now you've crossed the line. Now you're just like the Pharisee. God forgive us for doing that. Hank Williams Jr., some of you may not know him, but he sings a song about being of the chosen by being born in Alabama. I agree with that. Now, if you really think, though, that being born in Alabama gives you special status with God, and that it makes you better in any way, then maybe there's a little Pharisee in you. I love the South, and I love living in the South. I moved back to the South. But let it stop there, lest it become a pride issue. The Pharisee trusted in his heritage. He trusted in his position as a Pharisee, and he felt that it made him righteous. Jesus says only the tax collector was justified. So how does that apply to us? If you trust in your church denomination, even trust in attending a Calvary chapel, you're trusting in the wrong things. Be thankful that you know Jesus and humble yourself before him. Now, I could go on and on about bad example because Scripture is full of them. There was a time when 10 lepers came to Jesus, and he basically says to them, what do you want me to do? And they say that we would be clean, Lord, and he cleanses them. Lepers are always spoken of being cleansed, not healed, by the way. He cleanses them. And yet only one leper returns to give Jesus thanks. And he happened to be what Scripture calls a foreigner. How about the story of the prodigal son? We are all familiar with that story. How the prodigal son goes away, the young son, and he makes all the mistakes of a young son. But how about the older brother, the one who stayed home? The older brother knows nothing, absolute nothing, about the character of his father. Because the older brother pouts He's offended. He won't attend the feast of the younger brother. And he goes to dad, "You never gave me a party. You never killed a fatted calf for me, dad." How does the father respond? "All that I have is yours." You want my translation of that? He's an ingrate. He's an ingrate. He is not thankful even to his father. But I want to draw your attention to another story of Jesus. It's him feeding the 5,000. It's in John chapter 6, looking at verses 1 through 14. "And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain. There he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this he said to him to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered and said, 200 denarii, or 200 days' labor, worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have just a little bit.' One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?' Then Jesus said, 'Make the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the man sat down, and in number were about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, so much as they wanted. So when they had filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost.' Therefore, when they gathered them up and filled the 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten, then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'Truly, this is a prophet who has come into the world.'" But let me draw your attention to verse 11. Jesus gives thanks for the loaves and the fishes. Doesn't that strike you a little peculiar? He just created the loaves and the fishes. He just made them and he gives thanks for them. Jesus himself multiplied these loaves and fishes and he thanks his heavenly Father for them. I think one of the reasons Jesus does that is as an example to us. Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. Hopefully, as believers, we will stop and give thanks to God for all his blessings to us, for all his provisions. Maybe we'll even give him thanks for a meal we're about to receive. Now, I'm not saying I always remember to give thanks for every meal I receive, but I sure try. I just want to thank my Lord for the food I'm about to eat. Just a simple thank you is sufficient if you say it to the Lord. You don't have to get in some long, drawn-out prayer and all this. Just have a thankful heart. Just thank the Lord. The leper, 1 out of 10, came back and gave Jesus thanks for being cleansed. And Jesus noticed. Jesus noticed the one that returned. For he says, "Did I not heal 10 and only one, a foreigner, returns to give me thanks?" So when we give thanks, we have Jesus' attention. He notices. So this Thanksgiving, we have a holiday set aside to be thankful. Thankful for God's goodness to us. And being thankful for a meal, something so simple as a meal, is a basic thank you. It's an opportunity we get to say at least three times a day to God, thank you. A small thing for us, a very small thing for us to do, but our Lord notices it. He sees it when we do it. Because God notices everyone that is thankful. Isn't that amazing? Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father, first of all, I don't want it to be a pretense in my own life. I want to have a thankful heart. I want to truly appreciate your goodness to me, Lord. And so do these, your people. We want a heart that is thankful. So, Lord, let us develop that. Let us cultivate that in our own lives, that we just have a thankful attitude to you, our great provider. We're blessed beyond words, Lord. Blessed with the truth about yourself. Blessed with knowing where our next meal is coming from. Blessed to have such an abundance of food here in America when much of the world starves. We do thank you for that, Lord. And give us hearts before you, Lord, that are grateful and thankful, because we do not want to be rude to you, our God, by being unthankful. So help us, Lord, is our prayer. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.